In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I want to talk to you about the resurrection today. We just read it from the gospel. It's rather interesting, this gospel. This is a piece of liturgical trivia. It might not interest some of you, but it's fascinating to me. We have 11 resurrectional gospels we read in Matins. This is not one of them. This is the first account of the resurrection in the Gospels, in the order in which we read them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is the first account. We only read this on Holy Saturday. I'm not sure why, because it's really quite a beautiful gospel. But I want to read or talk to you about the resurrection from another gospel. And that gospel is 1 Kings. This is where the story about Elisha or Eliseus or Eliseus. We have an Eliseus in our church. How he raised the son of the Shunammite woman. There's some things in there that are very important. When I heard it today, I was really just thunderstruck. There are times, I hope this happens to you, that you hear something in the church and something just absolutely penetrates to your marrow, penetrates your heart, enlightens you in some way, is almost too beautiful to hear. I know that there's bustling and sometimes people don't say the words loud enough and all the rest of the human stuff. But when you hear something that absolutely just touches you, you must allow the Lord to teach you from it. And when I heard the Shunammite woman say these words, I had to talk to you about them. They're not from the Gospel, Mark, Matthew, Luke, or John, but they are the gospel because the gospel means good news. And the Old Testament is all about Jesus Christ. Every page is about Jesus Christ. And so, if you remember the story, I'll just recount it. So, Eliseus is coming through, and this Shunammite woman wants to give him a place to stay because he's a holy man. So she prepares an upper room for him with a bed and a table and a candlestick and such, and so he can stay. And he does. And he really wants to reward her for her kindness. So he says, "What do you want?" And she just says, "I just dwell in the midst of my people." But Gehazi says she doesn't have a son. And then she says, "Don't lie to me when he says, you shall have a son next year. Don't lie to me. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me I'm going to have a son. I'm too old. My husband's too old. Don't lie to me." But she did. And this son grew to, in another account, I think he was probably 10 years old. So he goes out with the reapers. And he has some sort of headache, probably some sort of cerebral hemorrhage. His father knows that he's dying, brings him to his mother, and he dies on her knees. This son that had been promised to her, and now he was gone. So what did she do? She took him up to the upper room and laid him on the bed, and then she lied. She didn't tell her husband anything. She just told her servant, "You go with me as fast as you can. Don't pay attention." And there is one little parenthetical note she says, "unless I tell you." So, you know, she was old. And so they went out to go to see him. And from a long way off, he saw her. And so he sends out his servant Gehazi to say, "Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy son?" "It was not well." She said, "It is well." And then he gets to her, or excuse me, she gets to him. She gets at his feet and he doesn't know what she needs. And then she says, "Lord, didn't I tell you not to be deceitful with me?" And then he knew. So he sent Gehazi with his staff. And the staff could be symbolic of the cross. But the cross is nothing without the one who is on the cross. Otherwise, it's just a piece of wood. And so Gehazi goes. But the woman says this, and this is what I heard today, and this is what I had to tell you. I didn't know I was going to tell it to you before I came to church, but I just had to tell you this. So, Gehazi goes, and basically Eliseus thinks that he can dismiss the woman. You can go with Gehazi. And she says, as the Lord liveth, and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And so he arose and followed her, because she was not going to hear that Eliseus was not going to go to her son. Eliseus, of course, is a type of Christ here. Like I said, the cross is just wood. But when our Lord was on it, it became an instrument of our salvation. So Gehazi goes ahead. He lays the staff, and the son doesn't breathe. He doesn't move. Then we know what happens. Eliseus comes, and he lays actually in the form of a cross on the son 7 times. And the son comes back to life. He's resurrected. Now, it's a beautiful story. Most people know at least portions of it. Sometimes they confuse it with Elias, who also resurrected someone. But the take home, the most important point, is that this woman said, I will not leave thee. As the Lord lives, as I live, I'm not leaving thee. And that's how the resurrection has power in our lives. Otherwise, it's just something people know about. And they celebrate Easter, and they get eggs from Walmart. There's no power in it if you don't say this. Everybody, even children, but especially all of the adults, there's been tough times in our life. There's been things that have been really difficult. I've been through a lot of hard things as a priest, especially. We have to say every time, as the Lord lives, and we know he lives, we know he's alive, I will, and I live, I won't leave thee. We have to be of that mind. There's evidence that we're not of that mind, because there's a myriad of terrible problems among people in the church, and really, to be honest with you, I know people in the church and people out of the church. I don't see a whole lot of difference in the psychological wellness of people in the church versus out. And really, isn't that really what matters? Is how you think, what is important to you, whether you're happy or sad. I don't see a whole lot of difference. Because we, as a people, don't say this. This is what you should say every single day. As the Lord lives and as I live, I will not leave thee. Which means you will live as a Christian. You will do the right thing even when it's difficult. You will never think the right thing is the wrong thing. You will never think that the wrong thing is the right thing. You will never abandon your Lord. And then the resurrection flourishes in you. Oh, perhaps it doesn't flourish in your job situation or in your health or other such things. It certainly is not flourishing in the personal lives of those in Syria right now who are being hounded and chased and beheaded and bombed, and their heads are being cut off. So it's not going well for them, but those in Syria who are saying, as the Lord lives and as I live, I will not leave thee. For them, the resurrection is actuated in their life. So we're celebrating the resurrection. We have this great happiness, and even moments of sort of comic relief when you saw I had so many roses. I was worried I wasn't going to have enough. And it's a wonderful tradition. It kind of mystifies my bishop. He doesn't get it, but he hasn't told me not to do it. So I'm going to keep doing it. And so we have these beautiful, beautiful customs. And this, we change from dark to light. Do you feel it in your heart? Do you feel something that is welling up within you? And do you think that there's something in you that's a little less dead because of Jesus Christ, and it's going to be completely not dead? It's Kind of strange way to say it, not very good grammar, but it will be that you will become alive completely. Do you believe this? If you believe this, then you will always say, no matter what situation you have in life, as the Lord lives and as I live, I will not leave thee. That is how we live. That is how Christians live. We don't make excuses with excuses and sins. We live according to the gospel. We live according to the commandments because they are the only way of life. So if we believe in the resurrection, then we believe in the moral way of life because there is no life without morality. Because our Lord showed us the way and then he accomplished all of it for us. So we should thank this woman, this nameless Shunammite woman, who certainly must be rejoicing with us right now. God knows her name. She's not dead. And her son's not dead. And her husband's not dead. We should thank her for giving us these words. And perhaps some of you sometimes falter. And sometimes you don't say, as the Lord lives and as I live, I will not leave thee. Sometimes perhaps you do leave the Lord by your laziness, by your lack of faith. Rebuke yourself for this and come back to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't want to ever leave thee again. And then the resurrection will be powerful within you. The kingdom of heaven will be within you. It won't be something we talk about. It won't be something we read about. It won't be something that we have services about. It will be in your heart. And you will be changed. And you will no longer be dead. That's what we're celebrating. Really, the Lord's resurrection, Pascha, we are celebrating our life. He was already alive. We don't have to celebrate that he is alive because being the God-man, being God, he was not dead. And his human soul was not dead. And all he needed to do was something that was quite easy for someone who could create the universe, cause his dead human body to come back to life. But not come back to life to ever die again. All the other people that were resurrected died again. When the Lord, of his own power, made himself alive, his body was changed in the way that ours will be changed. So that we will never die. But we have to live with purpose. Otherwise, it doesn't make any difference. Otherwise, we just believe stuff, but we don't do stuff. And the doing of the stuff that I'm talking about is not the things that you do with your hands and your feet. I'm talking about how you live, the person you are, the things you value. That is what we must be doing. And those things must be, as the Lord lives and as I live, I will not leave. Then the resurrection is within us. God grant us this. Amen.